Welcome to ITE 1, Module 3, or Part 2. And today we're going to be talking about internal cables, and then we are going to talk about booting the computer. We're going to take our quiz, and we're going to go through Module 4, which I think is a sad shell of what it once was. And it will probably take us approximately 15 minutes to get through. It'll be good.
Is it just me, or is Grace quiet?
You are just a little...
Am I quiet?
Yeah, she is a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I'm pressing on the wrong
button. Very easy on the ear.
That one doesn't work.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
Hey, got...
Alright, is this any better?
Oh,
now you might have too much. Now you have... Now it's too...
The story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears lives on in Kavi Lecture.
How's this, guys?
Still lad.
Sounds like you might have a
boot on. How about here? Is this okay? Oh, do I?
Yeah, that's good. No, I think that's good.
Okay, cool. Actually, no. Let's see. Hello? Oh, yeah, it has. Okay, testing Autovox. It sounds like it's okay. Oh, hello, Brian.
There we go. I think I've improved it somewhat.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. So, does anyone...
picking up some of Kiri and that, so I don't know if that's going to affect your Autobox or not.
Well, should be no, I'm moving over. Well, yeah, fair enough. Okay. So, does anyone have any general questions, comments, announcements? I'm finally... back up, actually, able to do email and grade labs and all that. I was going to grade a bunch of labs last night, but we had a little bit of a personal emergency, so was not able to do that. So sorry about that, guys. It'll get done. yeah. Anyone have any questions or comments about anything?
We're also announcing that we're engaged. Don't forget that bit.
Oh, yeah. We are engaged!
Congratulations!
Congratulations. I couldn't do it last night because my audio was broken.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
I can't believe it. It's coming out of nowhere. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your sarcasm is duly noted, Drew.
I'm happy for the both of you, though, and no sarcasm intended.
I have a question about a lab.
Okay. What's your question?
You know, in Lab 2 about the hard drives, they ask about tools... And I read, see where there's all these free downloadable tools, and I did find a couple that were by particular manufacturers, but they're not really real specific as far as a novice is concerned about what all I can do with this tool.
You know, pick a tool and Google about it. Maybe you'll find a review somewhere.
The other way is to actually go to the drive manufacturer's website, and there's usually a document, say, for example, on Seagate's diagnostic tool or the Western Digital Data Lifeguard tools or... Oh, you're still keyed, Grace.
Okay.
Okay, been to both of those, looked at it both. I guess I just need to read it again. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, the fact is the tool figures out whether your drive is working or not. End of story. You can either zero the drive... or it can test the drive for bad sectors. And if it says error, incomprehensible error code, you write that on the RMA and send it back to the drive manufacturer. Full stop. That's what it boils down to.
Or when you call them for the RMA, you give them that as well, I would think.
That's right. You've actually got to do... You do the RMA online generally, Sean, unless you're internet impaired, and then that's when you call them. And then you actually put the RMA code that you get online off the actual stuff.
Yeah, so just have a go, and if you have more trouble, let me know.
Otherwise, also look up Spinrite, which is on grc.com. That's another generic hard disk tool. Not too accessible to us, but it's very good if you can get it to go, and it fixes data problems and stuff. So that's Spinrite from grc.com.
Roger, thanks.
Drew, I don't think so. I think, wasn't your question, are they ever going to update it? I think he's done with it.
Yeah.
I think he's done with it.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions? Alright. So, we're going to implement the same rule that Carrie just did in his class. If we ask if anyone has any questions, just go ahead and type no. And let me just make sure I'm in chat. If you don't have anything, it'll just make us go a lot faster.
The other thing I was going to point out was you want to probably go through what labs people need to complete if they've done a computer assembly, disassembly. Because we were talking about that yesterday.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, yep. If you are one of the people who I have actually supervised through a computer assembly, the labs you need to complete are the lab 2.2, that's the hard drive tools lab, and 3.9.2, that is the BIOS assembly disassembly. If I haven't, and you know who you are, because I was physically with you when you did it, if, you know, those are the labs you have to complete. Everybody else, you are unfortunately not here, and I cannot get to you, so you will have to complete the disassembly lab for 2 and the other labs in Module 3.
And we've got recordings of that and the BIOS stuff. The BIOS one's really cool if you're really geeky and stuff.
Yeah, BIOS is really neat.
Kieran did a great job with it. If you can
are there any questions
to go
about those
BIOS
labs?
With you, though, that might also be a good idea.
Actually, there is a BIOS inside VMware, so if you don't actually want to go through your actual computer BIOS because the warnings that say that improper use of BIOS can actually destroy your computer and cause your significant other to leave you, you can actually boot up the virtual machine and hit Dell in the first, 500 milliseconds before the thing actually boots, and you will actually get into a cut-down BIOS inside the virtual machine. So that's worth knowing.
Can you read it?
Yeah, it changes the boot priority and all sorts of other things. It's actually a cut-down Phoenix BIOS.
Can you read it, like, with screen reader and stuff?
No.
What do you think, Drew?
No, I just finally found this magical way of you reading a BIOS that I wasn't going to tell anybody about until next September. No, the BIOS is still inaccessible without a screen reader unless you have a KNFB reader, an incredible amount of patience, a carton of beer, a sighted person, or a Braille embosser that you can go print screen and print every BIOS screen to the embosser and then count the number of down arrow clicks. I've got
if anyone has ever done that, I'd like to know. If anyone has ever gotten that to work...
It works, but it needs to be a parallel port.
Well, I have more patience in the beer.
Oh, the B works, but it has to be a parallel port, and you have to print screen to the parallel port. It will not work otherwise. You cannot redirect the parallel to the serial. Yeah, that should work. Sorry, you were going to say something, Brian, sir?
I have done it where I've used my old Light Talk synthesizer from RC Systems that had a parallel port and dumped the screens out to that with shift print screen, and... done a lot of counting and guessing and praying and
awesome.
Mostly got it to work.
Cool.
Question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In Chapter 3, they talk about this virtual machine a lot. I don't know anything about that. Should I know what they're talking about? Should I be doing that?
No, that's an online lab tool that is completely inaccessible to us. It's the virtual computer, and you click buttons on a flash animation, and it puts things together and pulls things apart. We cannot access it.
Be back.
Thanks.
I remember I kind of wondered that in the beginning as well.
All right. You have been moved. Alright, so, any other questions on labs and all that good stuff?
We're actually going to ask, has anybody listened to the new generation Ventrilo tutorials that went up on the Kevi site recently?
Yeah, the Mac one's actually not up yet. I'm going to make it a supplement to the Windows one because it takes so long to get through the server and user setup on the Mac, and it's really not that different, so I'm going to do an abbreviated Mac supplement and assume that you're going to listen to both of them, but the Windows one's up there.
Okay, well, if anybody feels the urge, if they can listen to the new updated Ventrilo tutorials and provide any feedback to Kevi instructors, that would be good.
That would be absolutely great.
Yeah, it's only about
20 super. I want to put it on my computer upstairs. I'm getting tired of sitting at the bar.
Fair enough. We'll see if you can do that and see if you think Sean did a good job.
Sadly, I actually had fun putting it together.
I bet. Yeah.
Testimonial.
I thought she was here. Oh, Carol's here. A different Carol. Okay, she'll be here. Alright. So, today we're going to do... No. We're just trying to make sure that... we thought one of our students had come in because she's late. Yeah.
I was just wondering if you wanted to talk about testimonials with this crap.
Oh, testimonials! Yes! Thank you for reminding us. I thought you said something else. We're applying for a grant, so we would like testimonials, and we would like anybody who is enjoying the courses or has any feedback to write to caviinstructors@gots.net, because I would like to put your testimonials up for a grant.
Two grants. We need testimonials for all grants, otherwise people don't know that people like us. So, yeah, there's actually two grants, possibly more going in. And without grants, we don't run. Without running, you don't get any courses. If you don't get any courses, well, you wouldn't be here.
The email from Elise said people who had completed classes.
Yeah,
no.
Well, it's
yeah.
Anybody.
Anyone who
and
could join
if,
it.
If you really need us to post another email that says anybody at all, we can do that, okay? It's anybody at all who has done a course with us before or is currently undertaking a course, your general experience with CAVI.
No need, thanks, can do.
Okie-dokie.
Thank you, Bob. Conrad, we'd really like yours because you are you're in Jamaica and we are trying to get people from all sorts of different countries.
Sure, will do.
Thank you. Oh, yep, we hear you. Oh my god. Yes, it's true.
I can pretend I'm still in Alaska, which many people think is a different company or country.
Utah's another planet. Does that count?
Absolutely.
We're from Virginia.
And anyone who writes it, writes it down.
You're from Roanoke. Which is clearly not on this world anymore.
Alright, anyway. Well. Alright, so we are going... after I die here, we're going to talk about cables, and this is going to be a very big review lecture, and we're just going to have a lot of audience participation, and we're going to get through this really quickly, because you guys know most of your cables, right? So we're
if
just
you
going
die,
to have...
How are we going to set up an accessible Ouija board? That's what I want to know.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll give you the schematics from the other side. Alright. So, we've got all of the components installed. It's... Have I set what?
Oh, have we set the date? No, we haven't set the date.
Oh, no. Thank you there. All right. So we're going to talk about the power cables first, because those are the first things that we're going to plug into the motherboard when we're actually installing these computers. It's different when you're assembling and disassembling a new computer, or a computer that's already been done, because you can leave at least one end of the cables plugged in, and usually I do. Okay. So, the first thing we are going to talk about is the main power connector for the ATX motherboard. This is it has a power cable just like any other component. An ATX motherboard has either a 20 or 24 pin power socket and can have a 4 or 6 pin auxiliary AUX, that's in your test, socket. A 20 pin connector can be used with a 24 pin socket. These are large rectangular connectors. To connect them, align. Go ahead, Sean.
You're not transmitting. If you're going to say that Jaws says "or" instead of "aux," then I'm pointing out that Jaws says "or" instead of "aux." It's actually "aux."
Actually, it says "oh."
Wow. It does.
Oh, because it's. I think it's like, you know, Brigitte Bardot. You don't want to be Brigitte Bardorks.
Fair enough. We've done this lecture really too many times. Okay.
Am I here now?
You're here.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we're going to connect the keyed connector to the socket and gently press down on the connector until the clip clicks into place. You can align the 4/6-pin AUXO connector to the socket on the motherboard and gently press down on the connector until it clips into place.
There are some cables that actually have that 4-pin built into the 20-pin, so it's actually a 24-pin, and they're not actually separate. And I assume she's about to say this, but when you actually pull the cable out, you've actually got to squeeze the clip first, otherwise it won't come out.
Yeah, it's really hard to pull that out if you don't squeeze the little front clip. Quite difficult. Okay, SATA connectors, SATA power connectors, are used to connect any SATA device, and they are actually 15 pins for the power. So can anyone name some SATA devices?
Hard drive.
Absolutely. Anything else that might be SATA? Yes,
DVD
absolutely.
DVD writer?
Yeah, DVD writer.
Alright, cool. Alright,
so... Blu-ray drive.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So, as I found out, and I'm not going to tell you how I found this out, because it's really quite embarrassing, and I kind of knew this already, your SATA connectors can be on the same circuit board, and especially with external hard drives, they might not actually have a cable, so you might just be plugging in, for some of these hard drives, just a little card, just a little end, and it may actually... Stop laughing at me. It might actually have both the data and the power connector on the same circuit board.
They are, however, separate connectors, and they are separated by about 2-3 mils of plastic, so they're not actually the one connector, they are actually separate. And a lot of the internal mounting things actually have the SATA connector soldered flat to the board, and you slide the drive into the SATA connector. It cuts down on things like pin bending and stuff that we used to see with the IDE stuff, because if you had the sort of IDE connector sticking out on the board and it would sort of rattle up and down when you shook the drive, it could actually cause the problems with the connectors on the external cases and stuff.
If you have a cable, it's going to... Yeah, it's a straight-on, just a little board type of thing, and it might be on the... You might have two separate connectors, or you might have this straight, flat cable with one little card on it that you plug both into.
The other thing you've got is, if people have seen them, they're a SATA dock, and what you actually do is you have a hole that faces upwards, and you basically put the SATA drive down on its end and drop it down into the hole, and it ends up sitting on top of the SATA and power connectors and powers up, and you can actually get like SATA docks with card reader combos and stuff, which are very useful.
They may
I
not
keep
come
seeing,
with a SATA
though, about a SATA with a 9...
Huh?
Yep.
What was the lecture?
I keep seeing something about a SATA connector with a 90-degree.
Oh, a SATA cable with a 90-degree connector is where you actually have, rather than the connector being straight onto the end of the cable, these are for internal cables inside the case, there's a right-angle bend in the plastic plug, so that when you plug the plug into the SATA drive, the cable then angles down, down past the SATA drive, and then obviously off and away over the hills and far away into the connector onto the motherboard.
That'd probably be better, actually. They may not come with
it is really nice.
You know, somebody on Twitter was complaining and going on and on about how he was expecting his SATA drive to come with a cable. So
they don't usually. The cables often come with system boards, but generally speaking, the drives don't come with cables. They come with mounting screws. I bought 8 Samsung silencer drives in their OEM packaging, and you basically got the drive and 4 screws. You didn't actually get any SATA cables. So when you actually buy system boards, sometimes they come with 4 or 6 SATA cables. Stash those away somewhere because they come in handy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Keep if you're taking parts out of old machines, keep them around for a while. You never know when you'll need them.
Yeah, those right on.
Is it possible to buy just like SATA cables?
Oh, absolutely.
refundable?
Yeah, that store I showed you, where you're providing all your parts, you can totally get solder cables there.
I guess we do.
Yeah. Am I? Okay. Okay. So, as I said, same circuit board. So, how about a Molex connector? How many pins does it have? Anyone?
8 or 9.
20.
Okay, here's a question. Here's a question that we're actually going to ask you that might help you sort this out. What does a Molex connector power?
Floppy.
Optical drive?
No. Yeah, not a floppy drive. Bob's right with the optical drive. So now that we know that it powers an optical drive, yes, absolutely. Now that we know that, how many pins do you guys think a Molex connector has?
They were the ones that powered the regular IDE hard drives and the legacy SATA drives and the optical drives and the really big fast spinning fans with the blue, red, and yellow LEDs that go round and round and round.
Are those the 40s? The 40
pins? So how many pins on a Molex? Anybody tell us?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say 4.
Well,
you're
done.
Right! Good job!
Plus 5, ground, plus 12, and ground. 4 pins on a Molex.
It's the biggish rectangular connector that goes into your CD or optical drive or your hard drive if it is not soldered to power it. Okay. I think so. Hold on.
I'm seeing a ping of 79 milliseconds, so my guess would be that the packets from the Ventrilo server are having a beer on their way over the Canadian border.
I think it's because I'm in the US. It worked better when I was in Canada.
Oh, fair enough.
And they're a funny looking thing with sort of thumb notches on the sides, and they're a real bitch to pull out.
Yeah, if they have the squeezy clips, you're
good
lucky.
Lord, that's a hell
if
of a
you
delay.
Don't. Yeah. Oh.
We're not seeing a delay here. I'm seeing 77 millisecond ping.
Yeah, I think it's caught up now. It seemed to be a temporary thing, but I'd have like 40 seconds of silence and then a flood of speech at once.
It's 270 here, which is what about it normally is.
Yep. Yeah, they can be really hard to pull out. So if you're pulling on a Molex connector and you don't have much upper body strength, you might really have to pull.
I think the other thing I'd say is make sure you actually pull on the plastic connector. Don't think you're going to wrap your hand around the cable and go, because there'll be this, and the 4 pins will come ripping out of the connector, and you'll be a very unhappy person.
You're right to move down to the electric. Can I just make an observation as well?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Just regarding cables and stuff, I mean, obviously, be as gentle as you can be, but something that amazed me when I pulled apart that desktop box that we did, Grace, something that really amazed me was how much force you do actually sometimes have to... you do actually sometimes have to put into these things, particularly to pull cables out.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is really surprising. If you grab the connector, and you may really have to pull, especially if you don't have the upper body strength for some reason. It can be quite a challenge.
I think it's fair to say that, like a lot of other things in life, there are certain things that you should really take gently until you know when to use your strength and when you need to be rough. And I think the same goes for hardware. You've got to know when something is going to be difficult to take out or plug in. Often when components and boards and things are new, you will find that slots are very tight, and you will actually have trouble jamming cards into slots and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think the philosophy I ended up using, if this makes any sense to anyone, was be rough carefully.
Basically, that's about it.
You want to resist the urge to just jam it in there. It's not good on your computer.
You're quiet, Drew.
Well, continue. Unusually.
Yeah. Okay. So, we got 4 pins, and they connect to PATA devices. Some drives have both types of connectors, both a serial ATA and a PATA. Do not use both at the same time. All right. So we've gotten
to the... This time they actually put that in. So Carrie didn't have to
add it
in.
I think last time.
They actually put it in.
No, they didn't put it in last time.
Oh, okay.
No, the last revision it wasn't in there.
Because I remember thinking, yeah,
Carrie,
he doesn't have to say it anymore. He'll be...
Okay. Yeah, exactly. It's one less note to put in. Okay, so we're going to do this the reverse. So what does a bird connector...
Hang on. Go ahead. Just one more point on Molexes. The thing that you've also got to remember about Molexes is that the pinout for a Molex is +5, ground, and 12. And there are actually two cut-off corners on one side of the connector that are meant to key it so that it will go in one way. If you provide sufficient force or the keying lugs wear, it is possible to put the Molex in upside down, and that will let the smoke out of the device you plug it into and possibly out of the power supply if you get a really bad draw of current. So just be careful and make sure you know which way up the connectors go, because with the ones made out of soft plastic, it is possible to wiggle them in and get them to go in the wrong way fairly easily.
Yep.
Usually you can feel, on most of them I've seen, a little plastic sort of lip on the bottom side to tell you if you can't feel the keying. There's a little plastic knobby thing on the bottom of them.
Yes, this is true. Okay. Alright. So, any questions on Molex / SATA connectors? Any of that? Are we good? All right,
it's kind
cool.
Of amusing that the,
thank you.
It's kind of amusing that the Molex connector has fewer pins than the where am I going? Than the SATA power connector, and yet the data cable on SATA has so many fewer than on the IDE. It's kind of that some of them. And never mind.
Okay. So we're going to do this in reverse. What device does a bird connector provide power to?
Floppy drive.
Absolutely. Great job. Yeah, floppy drive. All right. And anyone want to give a go at how many pins it has?
34.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, we're thinking of the data connector. Oops.
4.
4 is right. Absolutely. Good job.
I'm mixed up too.
Bird connector. It's all good. A bird connector has 4 pins, four pins, and it plugs into the floppy drive.
It's also used to power quarter-inch cartridge tape drives, and it is also used to provide auxiliary power to the SoundBlaster X-Fi front bay connector rig. So that's another thing you can use bird connectors for.
Okay, one last group of power cables I want to talk about is the headers for the motherboard, connecting the... Oh, really? Okay.
The other thing you can do is, if you're really clever, and just mention this, is you can actually use it to power things like your speech synthesizer. So some clever people have actually jerry-rigged a power cable and pulled 12 volts off their power supply, and they run their double talks and stuff off the computer's power supply to stave having to use an extra plug pack.
Ah, cool.
Oh my goodness.
Ugh.
Just for the recording, he had said that he thought he saw a bird connector on a card reader, because that didn't come through on the thing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, those front panel card readers actually pull power from the Berg. Yeah, you're right. I've got one sitting at home somewhere.
Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about is power lead, or the little headers on the motherboard. We can do it by trial and error. We can plug these little things in and try and make it work somehow, and you might actually get it to work eventually. The less painful solution is to get a sighted person, set them down in front of the manual, get them to do it for you, make sure to check it and check everything's working, because even my two work-study lab assistants got mine completely wrong, and they had to spend an hour and a half trying to fix it. So let somebody else probably do this, and then get them the beverage of their choice, or take them to dinner, or whatever you want to do, because this is actually quite a painful process.
The other thing is, don't lose the documentation to your case slash your system board. It is also quite feasible that with some of the older gear, that the case and that stuff are not labelled. And J7 doesn't mean anything to anybody once you can't find the documentation anymore.
You might have a hope. Power connector and the LEDs, right?
Yes, that's what we're talking about. The headers on the motherboard.
It's also worth mentioning that with an ATX form factor, if you don't connect the two pins that go from the front power button, the instant on-off front power button, to the system board, it will not power up. And I do not recommend getting a flat-bladed screwdriver and shorting out adjacent pins until it does fire up, although that can be done in an emergency and you take every risk and everything goes bang. But certain people who will not identify themselves have had to do that in the past to get a server to power up when they couldn't get the front panel switch wired into the board.
Okay. Now we've got to plug all of that in according to the manual. And there we go. So, any questions on power cables before we go into data cables? Okay, I'm going to guess we're good. Alright, the PODA cable is a flat, wide ribbon cable. How many pins and wires does a modern PODA cable have?
4.
Which?
Both. You can actually still get 40 wire modern cables.
40 pins, 80 wires.
You'll usually get a 40-pin 80 wire. That's right. And PODA devices connect to PODA hard drives and optical drives. A PODA cable has 3 connectors, 1 for the motherboard and 2 for the drives. The drive on the end of the cable is the master drive, and the drive in the middle is the slave drive if you've got 2 drives. Often, it doesn't matter which end is plugged into the motherboard, but here's some hints. If the keying on one end is different to the keying on the middle and the other end, that end plugs into the motherboard. Also, if 2 of the connectors are closer together, they're the ones meant for the drives, the other end goes into the motherboard. So there are your guidelines. To install, line pin 1 up on the cable with the one on the motherboard, and same goes with the drive. And these are usually towards the power connector on the drives. Most modern cables are keyed, so you won't be able to put them in the wrong way, so you don't have to worry about lining pin 1 to pin 1. You'll just be able to do it by feel most of the time. I have plugged in a PODA cable incorrectly, though, because the cable was so old it wasn't keyed. Most computers have 2 PODA controllers, allowing you to have 4 PODA devices. That's somewhere in some tests somewhere. So you can have 4 PODA devices on most computers. That's maximum. Okay.
I really don't like that.
So. Hey guys. This PODA cable has how many pins? And connects to what type of devices?
7
is right. What's it connect to?
Hard drives. New optical drives.
Optical drives, yes, that's absolutely right. How about a floppy cable? Thin ribbon cable with how many wires?
34.
Absolutely. Good job, guys.
That's where I got mixed up early.
Yep. There's a twist in the end that is for drive A. And remember this because it's in your test somewhere. The drive A goes on the end, and the middle connector is for an additional drive, drive B, if that is what you desire to do. Most computers don't have 1, let alone 2 floppy drives anymore. Motherboards usually have 1 floppy drive connector, but some smaller motherboards aren't coming with them anymore. These cables are usually keyed, and if you happen to accidentally plug the data cable in the wrong way around, the drive activity light will stay lit, and if a disk is inside it, track zero will be removed. The drive
That's
will not
in
be
your
damaged.
Test.
Yeah.
At least the part about the light being on.
Okay. It's not going to hurt your drive. You're just going to shut down your computer, unplug everything, open up the case, turn that cable around, and you're good to go. You're just going to have fun trying to get the data off that disk. When all internal cables are connected, put the panels back on the case and plug in the external cables. Make sure to secure the case with all of the correct screws. If you are unsure how to close your case up, consult its documentation. Okay, so let's name some external cables.
USB power cable.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yep.
Serial.
Yep. All right. So, monitor, keyboard, mouse, USB, headphones or speakers, we're blind, we gotta plug that in. And FireWire, absolutely. Ethernet, power. Be careful to connect all cables to the proper places, or they will not work. For example, keyboards and mice can easily be mixed up, so you will actually have to test those out, or try and feel the little tiny pictures on the cables. If they're PS2 cables. We always plug in the power cables last, because then our computer, if the power switch is on, might be live, so we want to always plug in that power cable last. One other word of warning when assembling or disassembling a computer, don't force any cable in, because it may damage the cable, and it probably will bend pins and damage the motherboard.
How many blind people bent pins on their braille thing?
Oh,
on their little
yeah.
thin cables. Bet she's all screwed them round and round until they fitted and went and then had to get people with a little screwdriver to straighten them out again. Don't do it.
It got to the point where there were some people, I wasn't one of them, but there were some people that were so consistent at that the teacher said, you know, it's person's name, cannot plug these in. You have to get a teacher or a sighted person to plug this in for you, because you are going to bend it,
we had a couple
and you've
of
bent enough of
Yeah, and in
I
fact...
I knew a guy that went...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I knew a guy that went through 5 Braillite disk drive cables.
Oh, wow.
You've met them, actually, Grace.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
The other thing is that, one of the things that you would try and tell people with these cables is that there was actually an arrow that would key them, and you were theoretically supposed to remember which way that keying arrow went. Didn't always work out that way.
On some of the original Blazy cables, there was one side of the connector was flat, and that was supposed to be.
Yeah, that was not.
You could do on if you bought them from, like your, you know, when the computer shops used to sell the Apple cables with the mini DIN to 9-pin serial, they did not have that, and so you had to pay very close attention to where that U was on the plug, and even then you could still forget. And the Millenniums and the others were different. All right, enough.
Yeah, absolutely, it's upside. They were upside down. It was good. I have to say that. One day, I don't know, must have been a really bad coordination day, but I was trying to work on a Braillite, and I'm sitting there for about 30 minutes, literally sitting there for 30 minutes trying to get this cable to plug in. And I'm not forcing it. I eventually called tech support and actually had them walk me through plugging in this cable, because I seriously could not remember which way it went and could not remember how to do it.
I bet that was fun.
Oh, I felt so stupid, but it's better than forcing the cable in and breaking it.
5 times,
yes, basically. So be careful. Alright, so we've got the case plugged in, all put together. We've got everything plugged in, power's plugged in. Now it's time to push the button and boot the computer for the first time, if it's going to boot. So we cross our fingers and we push the button. When the computer is open, is booted, the basic input output system or BIOS performs a check on all of the internal components. Does anyone know what this is called?
Post.
Post? Yep, power on self-test. Post. To check if all of the computer hardware is operating correctly. If a device is malfunctioning, an error or beep code alerts the technician that there is a problem. Typically, a single beep, it just goes beep, denotes that the computer is working properly. If there's a
this
hardware problem...
This is happening less and less now.
I know. Less computer speakers, no more beep codes.
But not even if there's a PC speaker, they just don't have the okay beep anymore. And I want it back.
There are a lot of BIOSes that used to beep twice. Once when the post initially completed, and then another one at the end of the RAM test. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's some that speak and scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, we had one that went, system failed, CPU check! System failed, CPU check! It's like, yeah, okay, I think we get the idea.
Asus tended to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the computer might emit a series of beeps. Each BIOS manufacturer uses different codes to indicate hardware problems. For a list of the beep codes for your BIOS, check the documentation of the motherboard or have a look on the web. There's a table listing some sample beep codes in the curriculum. They're not for every motherboard. I don't even know what motherboard they're even for or where they got taken from, but if you'd like a look at what beep codes might mean, you can have a look at that. There ends Chapter 3. Any questions before we have a really short quiz? Cool. All right, I'm just getting the quiz up now. Actually, I can load this on a web browser display quickly. Give me about 30 seconds to make this happen.
While you're waiting for her to get her braille display ready, remember that fees are due. It's time to pay. If you haven't paid your course fees, please consider going to www.qcat.org and clicking on the donate/pay course fees button and put your course fees through in US dollars. If you don't know what your course fees are, email Cavi Instructors and we will remind you.
And if you're on a payment plan, let us know what's up with you and how you're going with your payments. Just email me and check in with me so that I know.
People who do not pay their course fees in a reasonable amount of time will be eventually ejected from the course. However, if you have paid your fees, we apologize and you can finish catching Zeds now.
And if you haven't and you'd like to donate to Cavi anyway because you like us, that would be fine.
Yeah, we'd like to run again.
if you are close personal friends with Richard Virgin, then we want to be your first close personal friend.
Basically. Any questions on payments that anybody wants to ask here? Or we good? Cool. If anyone needs any help with payments, let us know. On Cavi Instructors, we'll help you out.
Yes, we will assist you in emptying your wallet into ours. It's no trouble.
Absolutely, that's what we're here for.
Which quiz is this we're going to be doing?
This is Chapter 3.
Should we do that at the beginning of the 4 recording?
Nah.
Okay, just curious.
Organization? What?
Well, they'll find it if they're listening to the lectures. Okay, so we've got a 9-question quiz today, and here's question 1. A technician is installing a new power supply into a computer. Which type of power connector should be used to connect a CD-ROM? Is it A, Berg, B, Mini Molex, C, Molex, or D, 20-pin ATX connector? Answer now.
What does Mini Molex?
All right. Nothing. It doesn't exist.
Oh, those clever guys.
All right, so everybody who answered C, and that was everybody, because we just went over it, so good job, was right. It is a Molex connector. All right, Question 2. A technician is installing a new power supply on a computer because the last one went up in smoke because they installed it wrong. Poor guy. Which type of power connector should be used to connect an ATX motherboard? Is it A, Berg, B, Mini Molex, C, Molex, D, 20-pin connector? Answer no. And that is going to be D. It is your 20-pin connector. Absolutely right.
And yes, this is a Pentium 4 that doesn't have the booster connector, so it's a 20-pin connector, so no. Okay? So then...
Basically. Okay. Question 4. When installing a new CPU, which... whoops, 3 then. It says 4 on my display. I've transcribed this quiz at 5:30 in the morning. Well, I guess it's only an 8-question quiz, so you'll just have to excuse me. When installing a new CPU, which item will help maintain even contact and heat distribution between the CPU and heatsink? A. Silicone spray? B. Graphite paste? C. Glue? Or D. Thermal compound? Answer no. D is absolutely right. It's thermal compound.
I want to see the guy who does
glue. I'm so glad that nobody said C.
On YouTube.
Yeah, they're going to do really well, aren't they? Glue.
I'm a little scared by graphite
paste. What is graphite paste, by the way?
I'm not sure that that's actually a valid...
I haven't actually seen graphite paste. No. I've seen graphite dust. That's used for lubricating the tumblers in locks. But yeah, I haven't actually...
I think that was just something to throw you off.
There used to actually be heat sinks that were actually glued to the CPU with a thermally conductive glue, but it wasn't very common. And it certainly made taking the heat sinks off somewhat difficult.
Okay, question 4. When installing a CPU in a ZIF socket, how should the technician align the pins to avoid damage? Pay attention here, this is actually pretty tricky. Alright, A. Pin 1 is always aligned with the opposite corner from the base lever. B. Pin 1 on the CPU is aligned with pin 1 on the ZIF socket. C. Pin 1 is aligned with the color, with the corner closest to the memory. Or D. The removed corner of the CPU is always aligned with the corner opposite pin 1. Answer now. Okay. A lot more of you thought got B than I actually thought, which is really good. The cutoff corner is actually usually used to symbolize pin 1. So the cutoff corner is going to go with the cutoff corner on the CPU, and that should be your pin 1. So B is correct. Good job.
To me, it only makes sense that the cutoff corner would go with the other cutoff corner, but maybe that's just me being...
I
don't know.
There isn't a cutoff corner on a ZIF socket, generally speaking. It's usually on a lot of the ZIF sockets, it's a mark or a 1 that's printed on one of the corners, and then your cutoff corner lines up with that cutoff corner on the ZIF socket, but the ZIF socket doesn't actually have the cutoff corner.
Oh.
The new ones do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anything prior to, say, Pentium 3 doesn't. They're just a square socket.
Yuck.
Alright, so, question 5. A technician is installing additional memory into the computer. How can the technician guarantee that the memory is correctly aligned? Is it A, the memory module, the label on the memory module should always face the CPU? B. A notch in the memory module should be aligned with the notch in the memory slot. C. The arrows on the memory module should be aligned with the arrows on the motherboard slot. Or D. All memory and motherboard slots are color-coded with one end red and one end blue. Choose now. All right. Everybody who said B, great job. That's absolutely right. You're going to feel, actually, with your fingernail, and there's going to be notches... or a notch in modern memory, and you'll be able to find the little notch in the actual slot, and you line it up with the notch in the actual memory, and you push down, and it goes click if you've lined it up correctly.
Is it worth mentioning that SDRAM actually has two notches?
Yep.
Yes, it is actually worth mentioning that.
That is in a lab, I believe.
Yeah, it is. When mounting a motherboard in a computer case, what is used to provide the motherboard, to protect the motherboard from touching the bottom of the case? A. Standoffs. B. Ground fault isolators. C. Silicone spray. D. Grounding straps. Answer no. A is absolutely right. It is our standoffs. Wonder what a ground fault isolator is. I think it's just another thing to throw you off. It's good.
No, I think it's actually something to do with safety stuff on power transformers or something.
Okay.
Kitchen outlets too.
Fair enough.
Bathroom outlets.
All right.
Yeah, probably another funky name for RCD, residual current device, detects voltage between neutral and earth? No, active and earth.
Okay, 7. When installing multiple drives, what is the name given to the drive that is attached to the middle connector on a POTA cable? Is it A, secondary drive, B, master drive, C, middle drive, D, redundant drive, or E, slave drive? Answer no. It is our E. It is our slave drive. The end one's the master, the middle one is the slave.
Unless overridden by the jumpers.
All right. 8.
Yeah, that's right.
8. When installing adapter card in a computer, how should a technician properly secure the card? A. Install the card and attach it to the... attach it to the expansion slot using thermal paste. B. Install the card and attach it to the motherboard using the thermal pads. C. Install the card and secure it using the metal retaining clips and located on the expansion slot. Or D. Install the card and secure it to the case with a screw. Answer no. Yeah, D is absolutely right. It is secured by a little screw. And I've got to say, it almost happened but didn't. Somebody actually just said that there could be a lot of bad jokes made about hard drives and masters and slave. So, good job, you didn't disappoint.
I was thinking it, but I didn't say it. And that should
this
be surprising.
This is too easy,
frankly. Yeah,
it is too easy. It is too easy. Which two connectors are used to connect external peripherals? Choose two. So this will be yes or no. A, EIDE. That would be a no. That's our flat ribbon cable that goes on the inside of the case. All right. How about B, Molex connector? No, that's right. That is the 4-pin power connector that will attach the CD or hard drive. How about a POTA cable? No, that's absolutely right. That is another name for our flat ribbon cable that connects to hard drives and CD-ROM drives. How about a PS2 connector? Absolutely. Connects keyboards and mice to the outside of the computer. And last but not least, how about USB? That's absolutely correct. USB is an external power...
external connector. Even.
Yeah. No, that's what I meant. Okay, so that is our quiz. Any questions on Module 3 before we head off into the wonderful... or not so wonderful, Module 4.
Sorry, I have a question just about that quiz. Could you
go ahead?
Could you repeat, just for my interest's sake, what was the question of the second to last question? I didn't hear quite what card we were actually attaching.
It doesn't matter, it's just an adapter card.
PCI card.
Oh, Okay, sweet ass. Yeah, no, it's just that I didn't
just
hear
any adapter
it,
card.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we are going to start with module... what? Alright, we're gonna stop. Alright, cool.